Welcome back to the JT The Brick Show, brought to you by Modelo Especial, the new number one beer in the U.S.
It's time for JT The Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT The Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
We got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeeze him by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT The Brick.
All right, everybody. JT with you. We're getting a little bit of the NFL schedule. The full release will be tomorrow. The Thursday night opener will be Ravens at Chiefs. The Friday night in Brazil. Friday night football in Brazil. Packers, the Eagles. The Eagles are the home team. Sunday, we found out that the Cowboys will play at the Browns. That'll be Tom Brady's first game. And then we found out that Monday night football will be the Jets at the 49ers, and just announced the first Thursday night football game will be Bills-Dolphins. How about that? Thursday night football gets a big one. So that's what we know in week two. The Bills and the Dolphins will play their first Thursday night football game of the season on Amazon. So that's where we're at. We're going to call Albert Hall now, get him up here, ready to talk to him from NBA Summer League, and then we'll get right back to your calls. Stay with us, 702-365-9200. The breaking news today, it looks like, and it's true, John Gruden will have to go to arbitration against the NFL. So the NFL gets the win there, as the league will get arbitration in the league's arbitration system. The NFL prevailed in the appeal in former Raiders head coach John Gruden's civil case. Majority decision 2-1. The court has overruled the district court, and the case will be sent back to arbitration, which I didn't think would happen there. I thought that they'd have to settle. It's a big breaking news story. I can't believe the timing of it today. Cannot believe the timing of it today. If you believe in conspiracy theories, that's a big one. The day before the schedule released, the NFL wins this to go to arbitration with John Gruden, and that's a big storyline. We'll get back to that. Albert Hall's been a friend of mine for a long time, one of the founders and the architect of NBA Summer League. It's now one of the most respected events in all the sports and most successful as they're coming back to the Thomas and Mack, and tickets are on sale now. Albert, congratulations. It's that time again, man. We get to talk about this. How are you?
I'm good, JT. How you doing, buddy? Great to hear your voice.
Yeah.
That fires me up.
Yeah, I'm fired up to see you and get out there as we always do, and let's talk about it. But first, the Raiders schedule comes out tomorrow. You're ahead of that because your schedule will be coming out, but you have tickets going on sale today. And when we started doing this, you and I, we were really pumping tickets because we wanted to get butts in the seats. Same thing now, but some of the overwhelming demand over the last couple of years to come to the Thomas and Mack and Cox Pavilion has been unbelievable, and you guys have accommodated everybody, and everyone's having a blast.
Hey, it's one big house party. That's what we love, you know, and it's crazy to think that we've been doing it for 20 years and seeing the stars that have come through. I mean, last year with Wembanyama, I mean, that demand was, you know, insane. And so now, you know, not as big a names, I think, as you would normally see at some of the drafts, but good quality role players, good quality guys. But at the end of the day, the Summer League is the star. That's kind of how we feel, you know, and doing it for 20 years, we kind of scratch ourselves, pinch ourselves and say, wow, can we believe that this is real? And it is, and it's thanks to people like yourself and those in Vegas who have supported us.
Yeah, what I love about it also is how you built out the branding of this with all the other casinos and all your partners over the years. And then last year we had the Sphere and all of the promotion going up on the Sphere with the basketball and Summer League here. So as a business model, it's really rocking.
Yeah, you know, we're always evaluating what we can do better or where we may have missed a step. But over 20 years, you learn a lot of these best practices. And having the partners in Vegas, as you mentioned, the Sphere rolling out last year and you know, the launch of Resorts World years before, We do a big event with the Win every year. You know, Virgin's been a big supporter. So we love those folks in town, and obviously Las Vegas events helped us launch this thing in 2004. But it's really, as you said earlier, it's become part of the footprint, part of the fabric of the city, part of the DNA of the NBA. I'm here in Chicago at NBA Combine. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's, you know, what people are already talking about. So we're fortunate to get tickets on sale early enough for everybody to get in.
Also, NBA 2K is the title sponsor. Tell me about that.
Yeah, 2K has been a part of this thing for a long time, just kind of in you know, for, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, they've really taken a forefront and said, we want to have a presence here. They launched their new brand, their new product for the NBA each year at Summer League. So that's exciting. You know, that whole industry of gaming and new audiences. And we're you know, not like some of those that just sit back and go, hey, I hope people will come and join the games. We're always trying to find those new people to come out and experience it for the first time. And 2K has done a good job of launching that brand as well.
We're talking to Albert Hall, Hall Pass Media, one of the architects and founders of NBA Summer League. His tickets are on sale, and I want you to get your tickets now so you don't have to stress what happens when you want to go and take the family and the kids to a game here. Follow on social media at NBA Summer League. You know, certain teams, it's kind of funny. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, as you know. The Knicks haven't been very relevant for 20 years. They have not. And now I got the Knicks playing in a make-or-break game tonight. As we're talking about this, we come through these cycles now. Look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've seen them play great at Summer League. And now Oklahoma City, that's been stockpiling draft picks coming through NBA Summer League for a number of years. Now they're peaking at the right time.
100%. I mean, how fun is this Knicks run? And selfishly speaking, you know, I've gotten to work with Jalen Brunson over the last couple of years. What a stud he is. And it's just, to your point, all of these players go through Summer League, they develop an identity, the teams are evaluating each other, so they may see a player on another roster they want to do a deal for, but it's the fruition of, you know, all of this coming together, and now you all of a sudden have a team or a roster, not just a star, and I think you're seeing that in the playoffs this year. It's more team ball than really just star-driven. Sure, the stars are out there, but Not enough can be said for building the roster and putting the team together and going into battle.
And there's always a coaching carousel. It's not one of the things I love about the NBA is coaches come and go. There's rumors on J.J. Redick to the Lakers. That'll all play out. But what I love are the players coming to Summer League and sitting down in the front rows, and you're able to accommodate them. And everyone wants autographs. Everyone wants to see the stars, such as LeBron James, come through. It could be a Steph Curry, whoever's there to watch their team. That's something, Albert, that's really blossomed over the last decade. It's a who's who. It could be Floyd Mayweather. It could be an athlete, a baseball player there. A lot of celebrities want to sit courtside at these games.
Yeah, no, that's been part of the fun that Warren, Gary, and I have is just, you know, cultivating these relationships, as you said, accommodating them. But at the same time, they know we're running a business. They're very respectful of it. But they want to come see the young stars. They want to come to Vegas. There's a lot to do. Several of them have developed their own kind of events around Summer League. As I said, it's become part of it. And, you know, last year I remember taking care of Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf, and those guys are all coming through. And then, of course, you have the Jerry West of the world who are there every year. And it's just a great, great festival of basketball. And at the end of the day, people are accommodating. They don't mind shaking hands or signing an autograph, taking a picture, because that's what Summer League has been known for.
Albert Hall, as we wrap it up, and the big hook that I say every year, as long as we've been doing this, is I think when I took my sons when they were younger, my wife and I were comfortable when they were young to leave them there. We'd come, drop them off, we'd give them some food money, we'd get them in there, and then they'd spend the whole day, and they'd go from Cox over there, they go back and forth, they get their autographs, and we go pick them up, and if I was doing the show there, you always accommodate me with the show. At the end of the day or the evening, they'd come out of there really happy with their autographs, their program, and they'd be so happy to tell us about their entire day and who they saw. It's a great place for kids to grow up, enjoy the experience, let them have a little wiggle room so they can move their seat from one side to the other, go in between, and just learn with their friends how to have a good time. It's going to be hot. Get inside their air conditioning for the kids, and the drop-off and the fun that parents could have, it's second to none.
I couldn't have said it any better. That's perfect. It's childcare, but it's not real childcare. Like they're entertaining themselves, But yeah, no, that's, I mean, if we had this when we were a kid, I know I would have found a way to get there and catch 8 games of NBA action for one ticket. I mean, I would have been in on that from the get-go. I remember doing that and going watching minor league baseball where I grew up because the tickets were cheap and you could see them and have access, and it's no different. And I think, you know, each kid does come out of there. We have all these pictures around the arena called Summer Moments. And it's really just the different stars or the different moments. You know, D'Angelo hits a 40-foot three to win the game, you know, as a rookie Laker, or Zion brings down the house with an earthquake. I mean, you name it, there's all kinds of great stories that are originating, and now we have 20 years of those. So we're going to do a little retrospect as the season approaches for Summer League and, you know, look back on some of these moments. But I couldn't agree more. As a kid, it's the best place to be. You're safe, you're having a blast, and you have access.
Awesome. Tell everybody how they can get tickets today. I think it's really important that you're joining us on the day that they can get tickets, how to do it, what's the easiest way to load up and get your tickets in advance.
Sure. You can purchase general admission or reserve tickets. Everything's available at NBAEvents.com, UNLVTickets.com, or go online and search NBA Summer League at NBA Summer. You know what? We have a ton of packages available. We've got the GA packages. I mean, you know opening weekend is going to sell out. So go there, NBAEvents.com, or pick up the phone, 702-739-FANS. And if worst-case scenario, walk up to the Thomas & Mack box office. We still do it the old-fashioned way as well.
Raiders training camp in Costa Mesa. Will I see you? That's
ooh,
a dinner.
Let's do it, buddy.
That's a dinner or two out there.
Have dinner and then catch a little Raiders.
100% on me. We'll take care of that. Good to talk to you. I'll see you when you get out here, and I'll definitely see you out in Costa Mesa, buddy.
There you go, bud. Thank you again.
You got it. Albert Hall, Hall Pass Media. It's a tough ticket now. It used to not. It was not a tough ticket. Danny, you know this. You know, we get tickets here because we're a partner of theirs, and, you know, I used to be able to go in there. It was like a bowl of tickets. I want to grab a few for my – no, not anymore. It's a tough ticket. You got to buy these tickets. Go buy them today. Put them aside, and you'll have them, and you'll use them. And if you don't want to use them on a certain day, you already bought them, you'll be able to give it to friends and family. But you've seen this, Danny. That ticket is a tough ticket, especially when there's great matchups early on in the tournament there. A lot of people want to get in there.
Absolutely. And one of the great things about the Summer League, when I first moved out here in high school, I did exactly what Albert was saying. I went down there every day. My mom dropped me off on her way to work. I spent the entire day watching basketball when I first moved out here because I didn't know anyone, and it was fantastic. And now it's something that the kids here in this town, without having an NBA team, they're able to see those superstars before they get to superstardom.
Right.
But they get to see real basketball outside of college basketball that we have with UNLV here in town. They get to see the pros and everything.
Yeah. What I liked about it, too, last year I was there for the Wembanyama debut, so I never saw Victor Wembanyama, only on TV. So they have the media down on the court, and I'm there on the court behind the bucket, and he works off his first pick and roll and gets a ball that was not easy and caught it and dunked it. I said, oh, my God. I knew he's very skinny, still is, but his size and strength and how powerful it was. And normally what I do is I go there. You can park there. A lot of times I park at Virgin, one of our partners. I walk over there, and I go watch Summer League, and I go have dinner at one steakhouse with my buddy J.O.D., and we sit there, and then people come into Virgin, and all the players come in for dinner to one steak. They come into other spots there, and you get a chance to see some celebrities and all that. So if you want to do that, do it today. You'll thank me if you get your tickets. It's from July 12th to the 22nd, and they put the tickets on sale earlier because they're going to go quick. So go get some tickets and be a part of that as we open up hour number two. Raider Ryan is here ahead of schedule release, which is tomorrow. What's happening, Ryan?
JT, good to talk to you.
Same here.
Always. I love schedule release, having worked with you all these years. This is one of my favorite days of the year. I have two quick theories on the schedule. You asked for a home game. I think the league wants to embrace the return of Jim Harbaugh. So I could see the home game being that late afternoon, week one, Romo Dance Charger game in the afternoon for us. Or if we have to start on the road, week two, Monday Night Football with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Hold on a second. I like that because I don't like the Chargers for the opener. I've just been there. We struggle in L.A., but you're right about that for a Monday night opener, because a lot of times, Ryan, and we've been friends a long time, they like to give us that Charger Thursday night game. That's almost a lock. It's Chargers Thursday night at Allegiant Stadium. I'm sick of that now. I don't need that anymore. I've been there, done that. We'll probably end up getting it. But Chargers early before Harbaugh gets to mold this team. I like that idea.
Yes, take advantage now before they figure it out. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert doesn't really have anybody to throw to yet. The second thing I had, I love how you always bring up how the league wants to screw us in the schedule, how they mess with the bye week. The thing I'm most concerned about, I could see a scenario in which they have us on the road back-to-back weekends in Florida at Tampa and at Miami in late September, October, when it's still humid and it's a 10 a.m. start. That's the thing that I'm most concerned about that I could totally see them doing to us. But that's all I got for you, sir. All the best.
All the best, buddy. Raider Ryan, thank you. Raider Ryan worked as my producer board op on my show for a long time in L.A. at Fox. So he's in there in the YouTube feed that we do every day, and he's calling in. Man, he was shy when I first met him. Now look at him. Sounding off like he's got a pair. I appreciate that. That's really the light topic that we have today, everybody. I got another guest coming up in Detroit on Jared Goff and that extension coming up in a little bit here. But I wanted to talk about what you think is the perfect game, the ultimate home opener for the Raiders. Doesn't have to be week one. It could be week two or week one. Who would you like to see the Raiders get out of the gate? Remember, Carolina is a choice. Carolina is a choice, or Jacksonville. There's a couple of opponents there that are tougher than others, but the road schedule is where the Raiders are going to have to make their name. Matt in Henderson, Nevada on 920. Hello, Matt.
What's up, JT? I think, this is a tough call for me as far as what team I would like to see the Raiders play, but I am going to go with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I think we may as well just get started, may as well just take on these tough opponents, and I'm thinking the Chargers are going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Just to see where our quarterback stands, where offensive line, defense. Let's just get rolling. I'm a season ticket holder. So first game, out of the gate, Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And, one other thing I want to bring up, just because I'm an Aces fan, I want to congratulate the Aces on their ring ceremony tonight. I won't be there, but I will be there to see them on Saturday. So hopefully the Aces can three-peat. Mm-hmm. That's my call, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, and that should be the plan. They should three-peat here. They have the best team here. They have the deepest team. They have the best all-stars. They have future Hall of Famers. They have the best practice facility in the WNBA, thanks to Mark Davis and his entire team, led by Larry Delson and his family. They've done an unbelievable job there. So the ring ceremony, they just went to the White House. Going to the White House is a high honor there, and they're going to open up, and they're going to open up going for a three-peat in the first year of Caitlin Clark. And all due respect to the Aces. This Caitlin Clark story is incredible. I said last night, I did my show from Wynn last night in the SiriusXM studios, and I put out a video of the women from the Indiana Fever. They got on their first private charter. The WNBA now has the women traveling private, and they didn't before. And it's so disgusting that men have to troll women and talk down to women. So I put out the video of Caitlin Clark and her teammates on the private charter, all sitting there smiling. They're getting treated like professionals. They're flying, not commercial. Can you imagine being on a flight with a WNBA team? And imagine what the women must think as they get on a flight and they're flying commercially. So now they're flying private. And you wouldn't believe all these male trolls who are in the thread saying they don't deserve to fly private. They don't make enough money. The league subsidizing him. If it wasn't for the NBA, they'd be out of business. I mean, what type of man goes on social media and mocks women and how they travel as professional athletes? I mean, it's shocking. It's just incredible that people just can't keep their opinion to themselves. You put out a nice video of a bunch of ladies celebrating and being happy. They're on a private charter. They all have parents and family. They could take videos. Hey, we're on the private jet. We're going to be pros. We're playing, opening up our season. And a bunch of men in their boxer shorts, as their mom screamed down, come to dinner, mac and cheese is ready, are turning off their video games and yelling at Caitlin Clark. I mean, really? We got to do this in 2024? Be happy for the women. No, they're not making the money that the NBA makes. Yeah, you could say the NBA has subsidized the league for a long time, but now they're professionals. The league has tremendous momentum. Caitlin Clark has a lot to do with that, and the Aces do. Mark has helped raise the awareness of how to treat athletes with what he does with his money for donations or what he does to build practice facilities. Look what he did for the Aces. The practice facility is not right next to the Raiders facility, and it's just as nice. I mean, the Raiders of the NFL, it's bigger and it's more expensive, but the Aces have the ability now to practice now in a professional environment that will help them continue to be world champions. And that's fantastic, and that's what should happen. That's what should happen along the way. 702-365-9200 as we are cruising along here on a beautiful day today. It's going to be an interesting weekend here. The sports, I can't go home and I can't wait to watch sports tonight. I'm going to watch the Knicks. I'm not a guy, I don't sit back and I don't sit down and watch a lot of cable news. When I do, I don't talk about it. But I'm going to watch this Aaron Rodgers interview, the whole thing on Tucker Carlson, because he is way out there on a ledge now. He's bringing a lot of attention, a tremendous amount of attention to the Jets that the Jets don't want. Nash is on hold. We'll get to him next. Nash, go ahead. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Good luck with your Knicks tonight, man. They lost a couple of tough games, mm-hmm. so we'll see if they can turn it around this evening. I'll tell you, as a Raider fan, again, I want to start off strong. So, to me, I'd love to see the Saints early because I think we match up well against them. And then even, Jacksonville or someone like that at home early on because we can start off 2-0 versus trying to dig our way out of a hole. So I think that's going to be positive.
Jacksonville won't be easy at home. I don't have anything, and normally when I do have a little bit of a leak or something, I swear I don't have anything. I'd love the opener to be Jacksonville at home. Jacksonville's a big team. They're good. They've been good for a number of years here, and they're competitive, and a lot of people think they're a little bit better than the Raiders. I don't. I think a fairly competitive home opener would be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, again, Trevor Lawrence doesn't get a whole lot of bad publicity, but, I mean, I would think he has underperformed versus his draft status. But I'd love to see him start off 2-0. The one I don't want to see early on, because you mentioned it before, how long of a break they'd have would be the Ravens early. I think that would be a difficult challenge for us. So I love to see that. And overall, excited to see that, excited for what not only Telesco's done in the offseason, but what he hasn't done. And let me just ask you one question. Do you think, you know, we talk about one in a veteran corner. Do you think there's any hope that a C.J. Jackson, I mean, I know he's got some challenges, but, he was a former All-Pro. So I'd love to know what Telesco's opinion of him since he signed that big contract only a few years ago.
Yeah, other than if he was so cheap and it was so early and cheap, I wouldn't even consider that. I've been thinking about Stephon Gilmore for quite some time as a guy that you can put in there and start, and he could be just a shutdown and have a good year, even though he's another year earlier. So there's no schedule leaks yet on the show. We're just looking to get your opinion on exactly what could happen for the Raiders and just want to get your pulse on what you think would be a great game. What would be a game that you'd look at and say, I wish that was the home opener. That's the game that I want. Coming up next, we're going to go to Detroit. Mark Ryan's going to join us. He's got a radio show in Detroit. Very good. I reached out to him when the news broke yesterday, and he said he'd come on today on Jared Goff's extension with the Lions and how it affects all other quarterbacks along the way. So that's where we're at now on the quarterback market. Look, Detroit's got a window to win the Super Bowl over the next 2 or 3 years, just like I thought Buffalo had 2 or 3 years ago. So we'll get a quick hit. I like to do radio, outside of Raiders, national NFL news, the NBA. It's all happening today, hockey playoffs. Would love to hear from you. Hey, jump on in. And if you ever get into an accident, remember that the Castaverde Law Group is there to help. 702-222-9999.
The JT the Brick Show is brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence.
I'll tell you, the Thunder Radio late in the game last night, they did a nice job. They did a fantastic job late in that game to close that game out, which was a really big deal. When you're trying to play a team and that team's got Luka Doncic, who complains more than anyone in the league. I mean, Kobe complained a lot too. You know what? I just want to say this quickly, Danny. I don't know if you agree with me on this. I'm not turned off by the NBA. A lot of people are. A lot of people are turned off by the NBA, and it goes back to, you know, people's political opinions and social issues. And I love the NBA. I don't get involved in that crap. But one thing that bothers me is when players complain to the refs all the time. Luka Doncic is on the Mount Rushmore. I'm not a ref. If I was a ref, I would tee their ass up the entire game. I'd be that ref on the first time Luka comes running past me. That was a effing, bleeping, effing this, slapping his wrist foul. I would give him a tee. And I'd say, if you do it again, you're out of the game. And they're afraid to do it, the refs, because they don't want to throw players out of the playoffs. Right? The playoffs are different than the regular season. But Danny, they let the players get away with the profanity and the screaming at them all year. Baseball umpires don't. You start dropping S-bombs and F-bombs to a baseball umpire, he's going to throw you out of the game, no matter what. Why does the NBA allow the referees to get yelled at by the players and just screamed at the entire game? Luke is the king of it.
I'm not sure what the exact reasoning behind it is. The only thing I can come up with is that maybe they were just told by the league, hey, yeah, don't toss the superstars, because they speak for the team. So when they're complaining, it could be about not just them, but anything going on with the team. Mm-hmm. I did, though, like that yesterday, Jason Tatum, mm-hmm, he was given a technical because he was complaining on a layup, which rightfully so, because the layup, he was fouled multiple times and it wasn't called, and he was teed up immediately.
I think you're supposed to respect authority.
Yes.
If I left this microphone during a break and went into the lobby and screamed at our boss and yelled at my boss, I'd get fired. I mean, I can't believe that people talk down to people in the workplace that way. The NBA is a workplace, and they're the employees. The owners own the team. The refs officiate it. The players play. I will throw that out. It won't work on this show because people don't talk sports on this show anymore. They talk Raiders, which is great. This is a sports talk topic. Do you agree with me or not that the players need to respect the officials more overall? Why is an official called an official if they're going to get yelled at by a 23-year-old who's running up and down the court? I see it every game. To me, it's a big turnoff.
Yeah, and it's by far more an NBA than any other sport.
Yes, thank you. There you go. Again, it's more in the NBA, correct?
Yeah.
It's hockey. Hockey, it happens a lot too, but they're screaming from the penalty box.
Yeah.
And you know, in hockey, it's different. When you have a penalty in hockey, you go to the box.
Right.
It's not like you got a minute to go sit there and berate the ref, right?
Exactly. And a lot of times with hockey, whenever there's a penalty called, they're usually yelling at the other player that drew the penalty. And in NFL, like defensive backs will say, if they get called for pass interference, there's that initial reaction, and then it's done after 5 seconds, and they go back to the huddle and call the plays.
Yeah, we've seen refs throw flags after that, saying unsportsmanlike, right, or just, you know, they don't control it in basketball. All right, Mark Ryan, kind enough to join us in Detroit. Appreciate him getting back to me as a big show on 97.1 The Ticket. Mark, wanted to get the initial reaction. Big news, Jared Goff on the huge extension. What's the reaction like in Detroit?
They are ecstatic, JT, and I'll tell you what, this is a move the Lions frankly had to make. That said, there are some worrying signs to me about the nature of this deal and about the average annual value of this deal the Lions are giving them.
Yeah, I would say that, because if you look at St. Brown's contract and Penei Sewell and some of the other players that they're bringing in, so what's the big concern from the guaranteed to the 212 overall? Because the Lions have a window to win the Super Bowl after getting to the NFC Championship game. What's your concern?
No doubt about it, JT. So here's the thing, all right? Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback in NFL history that's won the Super Bowl making more than 13% of his team's salary cap. He's the exception. Mm-hmm. We already know, JT, that he's the unicorn, right? In 2025, that number is expected to be $36.4 million. We don't yet know what the cap hit is, but it's likely going to be well over that. And again, it comes down to, do you want to be the exception or the rule? What are you placing your bet on? That number, JT, eliminates from Super Bowl contention this year Arizona, Cleveland, Dallas, the Rams, and the Giants. It's unbelievable Daniel Jones makes over that amount. So my personal guarantee is none of those teams are going to win the Super Bowl. And then, JT, this is a stat I put together on my own. 30 of the last 31 years, the team that won the Super Bowl had one of two things: the number one overall defense the year they won it, or a top 10 statistical quarterback. And Jared Goff, JT, is right on that line. He was ninth last year in rating, 11th in QBR. This is one of those you cross your fingers, you put your head down, and you pray.
Mark Ryan is our guest here. I would agree with a lot of what you said, but what are you going to do? I mean, I think the $171 million in guarantees are roughly around that number. I think that should be the total number of the contract there. But, it you know, if it's $180 or $212, I think he's going to get all the money. They'll probably be able to make this contract flexible to front load it with more money or to tweak it if they need to. Say they're close to winning a Super Bowl, they want to get a player, he'll redo his contract again. That's what's happened our whole lives when it comes to quarterback contracts. But a lot of what you're saying is true here, but he was in the ultimate leverage situation here, Mark. There's no way the Lions can let him go or not negotiate with him, because it looks like this team is really, really good and they can't afford for him to leave under any circumstance.
And that is the crux of the situation, JT. That's the rock and the hard place that they are between. And I think the Lions are making the bet on the fact that with the overimportance of the quarterback position today, and let's be honest, it is the position there is overinflated. It's becoming a bit of a one-man team, if I'm honest. They're making a bet that so many quarterbacks are going to have that $50 million plus salary that eventually that statistic that I gave you is going to be null and void. But the 30 and 31 years, top 10 quarterback or number one defense, that is very much valid. So what Jared Goff are you getting, right? Are you getting a Jared Goff that can ride the bus? Because they're going to need a Jared Goff that can drive the bus, JT. And I think what we've seen thus far is if you put the right pieces around him, if you give him the Pro Football Focus, number one rated offensive line in the NFL, he can be good. But can he lead you back from 13 points down in the fourth quarter? That is still to be determined.
Mark Ryan is our guest in Detroit. 97.1 The Ticket. So I want to talk about ownership now and how the ownership possibly has gotten out of the way and letting the football part of the organization run it here and make good, sound decisions. This is one of the worst-owned franchises anywhere in North American sports history. They finally figured out not to meddle and not get in the way. What can you tell us about the organization and how they're making decisions?
Well, I'll tell you what, JT. Sheila Ford Hamp has done an amazing job of bringing on Dan Campbell and then, like you said, getting out of the way. Then bringing on Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell. You put those two guys together. The synergy that they have between the two of them, you know, she deserves a lot of credit because that was her call. That's the most difficult thing to do is to hire the right person, to hire the person that can change a negative culture that was pervasive in this city for the better part of 40 years. And so she hired the right guy, who, by the way, JT, is a perfect cultural fit for this city, right? Blue-collar guy, no frills. He's not bougie at all, right? It's just about the X's and O's. It's just about winning, and he can kick back and have a beer. That is this city to a T. It's a perfect cultural fit, and it's been something amazing to see. What I wonder, JT, and this is what I've asked my audience, is this year Super Bowl or bust? It's hard to say that when you've had as little success as this team has had, but believe you me, that is very, very much the expectation.
Mark Ryan, as we wrap it up, see, I think they have a window to win a Super Bowl, and they just had it last year. That was a real window, and they shouldn't have lost that lead in Santa Clara, and they did, and they'd be in the Super Bowl in Vegas, where I am, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But I think this reminds me a lot of the Buffalo Bills. And when we see what the Buffalo was able to do with Josh Allen, he had a rookie contract. They were very competitive. They obviously had to pay him. And now you look at the situation going forward. Buffalo is good, but they're not super elite. And I picked the Bills to win a couple of Super Bowls over the last 3 or 4 years. I thought they had that window. I think Detroit's in a good place now, but you really pointed it out well in this conversation that they got to thread the needle. So I would think this upcoming season, the year after that, maybe one more with this contract, they should be able to get to at least one Super Bowl. Would I be crazy to say more than one?
Yeah, and look, that four-year contract, they're identifying this as the window for this team. That's why it's a four-year deal. And they're gambling that, look, even though we're going above the threshold, the talent around him is good enough. JT, it's unbelievable that the NFL allowed Detroit to land the best corner in the draft, starting with the 29th pick on draft night. That is unbelievable. If you ever go back and you say, how did the NFL let the Patriots get Julian Edelman? They should have known not to let the Patriots get Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. That's one of those picks. 29th in pass efficiency defense out of 32 teams. You let them get the one position they desperately need. How did the NFL do that? I agree with you. I think there's a three-year Super Bowl window now, minimum.
Hey, finally, Mark, what's interesting here is the guys who should be celebrating tonight are Tua, Dak Prescott, the other quarterbacks. When you go from being a very good player, and this is his second big contract, to being the second highest paid quarterback all time, at one point in this contract, it just rises the water. All the boats go up here. Everyone's going to get paid. So is this insanity ever going to end? Is every TV deal going to go up by another $8 billion, so the quarterbacks are going to make even more money, more than Marino and Elway and Montana combined, because someone's got to spend this money. The union's going to demand that they get all their money and split it with the owners, and it's mostly going to go to the quarterback. And someday you'll be on the air in Detroit and we'll be up to maybe 300, 400 million contracts as the commonplace, not just Mahomes. We're going in that direction.
It's unbelievable, JT. Consider this. The salary cap this year is projected to be $255 million. In 2025, $280 million. That's a difference of $25 million in 1 year. We're not far removed from no quarterbacks making the amount that the salary cap is changing from year to year. And look no further than the increase in streaming rights for the reason why, and the rules that protect the quarterbacks. You can't land on the quarterbacks, so on and so forth. That's the day and age that we're living in. So back to my original point, JT, the hope for the Lions is that now that 13% statistic becomes null and void, because everyone with a competent quarterback is now over that 13% threshold. That could be the case 3 or 4 years down the line.
Follow him at Mark, M-A-R-C, Ryan, on air. Mark, great conversation. Appreciate you coming on with this news. Thanks so much for doing this.
JT, love your show, man. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much. And interesting conversation about what's going on there. I mean, this is a quarterback that has a window to win multiple Super Bowls. I said that about Josh Allen in Buffalo. He hasn't won one. Right? He hasn't won one. Said it with Baltimore. If you look at Lamar Jackson, what he's been able to do, it's all been Kansas City. So if you don't have Patrick Mahomes and you got a very good quarterback, Jared Goff's very good. But I would have told you 3 or 4 years ago he was the same as Jimmy Garoppolo. And when Jimmy Garoppolo came to the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, kind of Jimmy Garoppolo was not the same as Jared Goff. Goff's better. But at that point, Garoppolo won 4 playoff games. And that's what we've seen with Goff. Goff won playoff games for the Rams. He won playoff games for Detroit. Sad part about Goff is he had the Niners beat last year. They had him beat down. Significantly, and they couldn't close. So if I'm in Detroit, and even if I'm not a huge Jared Goff fan, I'm happy about the stability of that franchise to lock up a quarterback long-term. St. Brown got a lot of money at wide receiver, and Penei Sewell is one of the highest-paid offensive linemen there. They're running their business better in Detroit than they have at any other time. They've been a laughingstock in this league, arguably the worst-run NFL franchise of all time, going back to the 50s. And what they've done in the Super Bowl era, they're arguably the worst along with Cleveland. Now they look pretty good. Detroit's going to win for a while, man. Detroit's got a good core of players. Very good, balanced on both sides of the ball. They've been drafting well and doing a pretty good job. Appreciate Mark coming on again. Late notice to get that story, which is big. And we're just waiting for the big news that's going to be tomorrow, the NFL schedule release. I have a full day tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be one of the busy days. We'll be up early. We'll be here on the air. Then I head to the Raiders. And then the Raiders put out specialty programming, which I'll anchor tomorrow. And I'm excited for that as they release the schedule to the Raider Nation. And we'll debate it. We'll have fun. We'll go through it game by game and figure out what's going to happen here. It should be a full day tomorrow. I'll tell you all about that at social media. Follow me on X. I still call it Twitter, at JT the Brick. And just subscribe. Even if you don't watch it every day, see what we're doing on YouTube, especially the first half hour of the show, the monologue. JT the Brick YT on YouTube. Subscribe. Maybe you can share it and get in there and check out what we do here. Every day, man. Feels like this show's ripped through all day today. Thanks again to Albert Hall, who joined us from Chicago NBA Summer League, and Vinny Bonsignor earlier in the show. It's you and I the rest of the way. I got about another 20 minutes. Let's hear from you. What's the one game you want as the home opener? It's the last time, last call for that. The game that you think makes the most sense. You know it can't be Kansas City because Kansas City's playing on Thursday night, so they're not going to open up here on the road against the Raiders. And when we only have these 8 home games, I just took one away, so there's 7 choices left. Do we play? And we opened up last year and ended last year with Denver. Let's not do that nonsense again. I like Denver early, but last year our first game was Denver and our last game was Denver. That was stupid. And then the other breaking news, which I'm not happy about, John Gruden loses his case with the NFL. It gets thrown into arbitration, as I really believe that John Gruden would have been able to control this case and discovery going forward. I thought the NFL overreached, and I'll never change my mind on this topic. I thought the NFL overreached with the emails. John Gruden won in a lower court. It went to the Nevada State Supreme Court in our state here of Nevada, and it just got kicked out to Roger Goodell in arbitration. So Adam Schefter, 3 minutes ago, if you want to read the whole story, a 3-judge panel of Nevada Supreme Court today sided with the NFL against former Raiders head coach John Gruden, saying that he was subject to arbitration even as a former employee and thus ineligible to sue the league over his 2021 termination. A former employee, not a current employee, he was former at the time when they picked the emails off, not allowed to sue. Have to go to arbitration. Is this a big loss for Coach Gruden? I don't know. I need more time to think about this. I don't think he's done yet. I think he'll have his final say. I think he will be vindicated at some point. But going through Roger Goodell and Roger Goodell's arbitration is not what I expected. Not what I expected. I actually feel bad for him on this today. I didn't think it was a lock, but I thought he had an advantage in this one, and that was taken away and sent back to NFL arbitration. 702-365-9200. Come on, jump on into the show. We're brought to you by the 872 laborers who build this city on time and on budget.
The pitch to Stott. Swung on. Hit in the air. Right field. Going back. Marte to the track. It's over his head, and it is gone. Onto the roof of the Mets bullpen. Bryson Stott leads off the 9th inning with a solo home run off Edwin Diaz, and it's a 1-run ball game.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Grimaldi's Pizzeria, home of the famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza.
Yes, Grimaldi's. My mom and dad get here on Saturday, and my dad loves Grimaldi's, so we'll go take my dad and mom to Grimaldi's. We'll get the Brooklyn Bridge pizza, we'll get the Caesar salad, and we'll sit out there in Boca Park and kick back at Grimaldi's. I love the pizza there. Fantastic. So there's a lot going on with Aaron Rodgers today. Okay, I don't want to talk about the Illuminati. I don't want to talk about the deep state. I don't want to talk about our government being against us, forcing us to do this. He did it for us. It's all up there. He went on with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson reportedly was even aghast and shocked by a couple of his comments and what he said about Pat Tillman. And this is what Aaron Rodgers is doing. So Aaron Rodgers is doing this, and his ownership cannot be happy. Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, can't be saying, oh, my God, I paid this guy $50 million a year, and he's sitting on Tucker Carlson for 90 minutes talking about conspiracy theories. He might be right. I'm not saying everything he's saying is wrong. My impression is he's a quarterback. He's a face of a franchise. When you're the face of a franchise, there's certain things you just kind of got to step aside from, and he's not doing that. So you're going to get a lot of that today and tonight. The PGA Championship is coming up, and the news today, Rory McIlroy has filed for divorce from his wife. And Rory McIlroy is the type of guy who's been the spokesman for the PGA against LIV. And now Rory insists it's his time for his 5th major, and this bombshell broke today. Then I come in here and I find out in my monologue that John Gruden lost his case with the NFL technically and has to go to arbitration. Whoa, look at all of this. So with all the news today, today is a pretty big headline day for the news. And Kirk Cousins says that, this is interesting, we're playing Kirk Cousins this year, everybody. We're not going to play Michael Penix unless Cousins gets hurt. And I don't root an injury on anybody. But Kirk Cousins doesn't want a beef with Michael Penix Jr. The veteran signed a 4-year, $180 million contract with the Falcons in March. And then last month, in a stunning move, the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8th pick. Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, told ESPN's Pete Thamel, at the time, there was confusion and frustration coming from Cousins' camps because the Falcons acquired a successor before he even put on the Atlanta helmet. Cousins spoke for the first time about the situation with the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, which was published earlier today, and it was very interesting. My sons listened to this podcast. When asked whether there was any beef with the Falcons over draft and panics, Cousins said, "I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. We're trying to win a Super Bowl, and it's hard enough. It's hard enough. Let's all just be on the same page and try to win a Super Bowl. Good luck with that." Cousins is probably the nicest guy and maybe easiest guy to get along with in all of the NFL. I mean, this is a guy, when he loses a playoff game, gives his kids a bath and reads bedtime stories. I'd be in a bar drinking my life away if that happened to me. And this guy is just, he cares more about his family than football. And he loves football. But the Kirk Cousins, we're going to get, that could be our home opener. I don't have any information. I'm not leaking anything. But we can open up at home against Atlanta. Wouldn't that be a good game? Why wouldn't the NFL want that? The Raiders and Antonio Pierce versus Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. That's a big game. I mean, matter of fact, Danny, isn't that one of the better games on the Raider home schedule? I mean, the Raider home schedule doesn't just jump out at you and say, oh, my God, this isn't an unbelievable home schedule. Wouldn't putting the Falcons up there, or do you think you'd want to save the Falcons for a nationally televised game?
As far as non-divisional opponents, I do think the Falcons is probably the top, if not the second best. I do also like Jacksonville, as you mentioned earlier. I think either of those two games outside the division would be
Jacksonville or Atlanta there. Yeah, that would be interesting to see how that plays out. We won't know until tomorrow. I'm sure there's going to be some leaks tonight. Pacers, Knicks, that's the early game tonight. 5 o'clock on TNT, then 7:30. The Wolves and the Nuggets, what a game that's going to be. How about that one? That game's back in Denver. Denver was down 0-2, and now Denver is back in. I'm going to go get a haircut, and I'm going to get ready to be on the Raiders broadcast tomorrow with the schedule. Everybody have a great night. Q is here in the building. He's coming up next. We appreciate that. Our one-hour YouTube is up on YouTube at JT the Brick YT, and it should be a fun week here ahead. Going to Pearl Jam on Saturday night. That's another show. Live music in Vegas. Weather getting great. An NFL schedule release tomorrow. Can't wait. It's like a holiday here on the flagship of the Silver and Black.